Absolutely. You ready? Good evening. I'd like to call the iBISBE Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, May 15, 2019, and we are meeting in the temporary City Hall. The roll call: Stanley Cern is present, Denise Lowe is present, Rob Page is present, Kathy Snowden is having surgery today, so she's out. Carrie Gustin is present, and Stephanie Peavy is present. David Smith, our council liaison, is present, and Nina Williams is here. I'm delighted to have her. The approval of the minutes of our March, our first call to public. Do we have any? Okay. Approval of the minutes of our March 20th meeting. May I have a motion on that, please?
I move to approve the meeting minutes of March 20th.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Then approval of our minutes of our special meeting on May 6th, which is a week ago Monday. May I have a motion of approval of those minutes?
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Good. Anna Marie Flanagan, we're delighted you're here. We
thank
put you,
you
first
me.
On the agenda so you could get out of here in due course.
I appreciate that. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. And Anna Marie Flanagan, when we started talking about trails, Anna Marie's name came up. And we tracked her down in the county building, and we found out that she had a project. And we talked about it, and she's going to talk about her project today with us, and then we'll talk about our bicycle trails and other trails.
Awesome.
So Anne Marie Flanagan, you're up.
Thank you so much. Well, first I'd like to pass some handouts for you so that as I talk about them, you can take a look. And then I think I want to put this map up here.
Sure.
Stephanie, you want to help me?
Sure.
I'm going to take a couple of pieces in here. I wanted to bring you the map so you could see the area that we're talking about. I think visuals are really important. So the area that we're talking about, these are the county buildings. I know you're familiar with the Miller Lane complex. And that's the area that we're talking about here. So these are the county buildings. This is the health department right here. This is where I work. And so we've decided to build this multi-purpose path in these three different areas. And the map that I gave you is to show you that we've already marked and cleared area 1 and 2. And then we're thinking of doing, of putting up exercise stations around area 1. And that's what you see marked there, 1 through 7. And in the other handout that I gave you are the workout stations that we're thinking of getting to put in this area. So people can do a sort of circuit if they want to, or they just can come by and do their walking, whatever they want. The path is going to be about 10 feet wide. And on Friday, we're going to be talking about how we're going to put a surface on it. Some people want something like AG. I'm pulling for chip seal because we want it to be multi-purpose. So if you're in a wheelchair, you can go. Or if you're a parent pushing a stroller, you can hold it. So it's friendly for people like that. So it isn't just a walking path. We wanted to make it accessible for everyone. But I don't know yet. I can't tell you yet what kind of surface we're going to have. Like I said, Friday I'll be talking with the county administrator about that to see where it goes. And then you see that there's 6 stations here along with a sign that we're going to have in each place so that people know what to do with each station. The seventh one is this one. And I only have one, but you can pass it around, take a look. We walked this area because it just got cleared. So on Monday, a couple of coworkers and I went to walk the area, and we realized that we actually had room for 7 stations, not just 6. So we decided to choose another one from this company that, you know, makes very durable, sturdy, fun, colorful stations. And so that's the 7th one. What questions do you have?
Is this going to be open to the public?
Absolutely open to the public, yes. We've noticed that there's lots of people from the community that walk around here. Unfortunately, because we have a lot of big trucks and stuff, that wasn't very safe. And that was one of the reasons why I thought we really need to use this land and make the path inside as opposed to where the roads are. So there's already a lot of community people that walk around here. Another thing that's great is that we have these parking places here. So people from other parts of Bisbee can come park and then start their walks.
So how long is the path?
The path is, all of it is less than 2 miles.
Okay.
And I apologize that I don't know exactly how long it is because we've changed it a couple of times. But I can always send that information to you so that I can be exact.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Have you discussed this with Copper Queen Hospital?
I know where you're going.
I think that Judy, do you guys know Judy Gilligan?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So I think she may have talked with them about that. I haven't. We were going to talk with them about maybe sponsoring a station or something like that. That's the stage that I'm at right now, actually, is finding community sponsors for the exercise stations.
Well, I would encourage you to talk to the hospital. Talk to Rob, the CEO, or have Judy do it, of course, whatever. Because they put in a multi-stations in Douglas several years ago. They offered it to Bisbee at one point. They were going to spend $40,000 on just this kind of equipment. And the city wasn't ready to accept it yet. But since this is deemed Bisbee-Naco path, you might be able to get something done that way, particularly they're required, because of their rural health status, they're required to donate a certain amount of money into the community every year. And so I would highly suggest that you guys get in line.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes.
And it has to be health related, and so this fits. It's perfect. Perfect.
It's a perfect fit, yeah. Well, thank you. Yes, they are definitely in the list of people that we're going to talk with. And I think that Judy is the one, because she's got the relationship.
Yes.
So I think she's probably the one who's going to do it. But I'll let her know tomorrow when I see her that we talked and that you really suggested it. So.
Yeah. I just had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and Rob and Judy were both there. I think they even sat next to each other. So.
Okay, good. Good.
Anna Marie, do you have a tentative timeline for how this is going to progress?
Okay, so I've been told, like I said, we've cleared these two. And I've been told that the county is paving or doing chip sealing or something somewhere in another area. But the machinery and the equipment is going to come back in June. So by the middle or end of June, they should have this area ready. If it's chip sealed, which is so by the end of June, that part should be done.
Huh. So things are moving right along.
Things
for
are
you.
Really moving, yeah.
Good.
Now, I think this one hasn't been developed yet because I don't know if you guys know, but we got a grant from the Legacy Foundation, and it was $50,000. So I think what we're trying to do is making sure that those $50,000 can finish something before we just go ahead and do the whole thing and nothing is finished. So that's what's going on there.
So you're using the legacy for sort of clearing and painting?
Right.
And then funding for the stations is the second piece.
Yes. And that's part of what they actually liked about our proposal, that we wanted to make it like a community thing, so it wasn't just the county doing something, that there were other stakeholders in the community that were taking part in it.
What's the total budget on this project?
The total budget, I think it's $100,000. But again, that's,
I mean,
not
that's reasonable for my experience, yeah.
It is reasonable, but it might be less. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Where's the expense in the paving?
Well, the paving, the manpower to do all the work.
The install.
The install, yes.
Because the equipment's only about $10,000.
That's why I'm looking.
But the install and the paving are labor intensive.
Right.
And I don't know how much you can pull in-house.
And also, we're discussing now, well, and then we have to keep it up. We have to, you know, the upkeep is also something that we need to think about. Eventually, we'd love to have solar lights so people can use it later on in the day or really early in the morning. Water stations.
Yeah, I was going to ask about water.
Water.
Yeah.
Water.
Would be nice.
Maybe even like a doggy.
They can stop at Stanley's and get a bottle of water.
Well, they have to hike over there, though.
This is really neat.
Yeah,
it really is. I'm familiar that the hospital did put one in Douglas. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it in Tucson, where they have these types of things. And because you're going to offer it to the whole community, it will be a very lovely thing.
It'll be interesting to find out what the usage of the Douglas Park is.
Yeah, is that the one by the airport? Is that the one you're talking about?
I haven't seen it.
I don't know. All I know is the hospital.
There's one by the airport?
Yeah.
Is that the
it's
one
great.
You're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about a mile.
Yeah.
Mile track.
I've been to that
it's
one.
It's got the same equipment. Mm-hmm. It's really neat.
Is it used a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Do you
it's
know?
Used a lot.
Oh, great.
It's a popular park. Yeah.
It's really a great idea.
Anna Marie, thank you very much for sharing this with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me and letting me show you what we were doing. And hopefully I'll get in touch with you as we go along and let you know where we are.
I like the fact that you're opening it up for the whole community.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that was from the get-go something that we thought we had to do. It wasn't just for county employees. It's for everybody.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks, Anna Marie.
I'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks.
I know.
Can I take a picture of that? I actually have that land for sale right now.
Which one?
Interesting.
Yeah, this one over here.
The one with all the lots.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
So that's the subdivision lots.
Yeah, but it's a lot of vacant land that I'm selling right now. So I just want to take a picture. It's like,
wow.
If you don't mind.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Anyway,
I can't wait to talk with you because you've got the best guns I've ever seen.
It comes from arm wrestling.
So, I'm good?
You're good. You're excellent. Thank you
Thank
again
you
for
so
coming.
Much. Bye.
I appreciate it.
You're released on good behavior.
Oh,
this is awesome.
We're going to move on to a presentation discussion regarding bike trails.
Okay.
Stephanie, you're up.
Hi. I've got a couple copies of this, figuring that not everybody wants the full Monty, but if you do, I'll email it to you. So I'm just going to go through.
I'm going to give one to Nina for inclusion with
okay.
the minutes.
I'm just going to highlight the things in each of the sections. First of all, I did interviews in late April with Matt Harmon, who is the president of Greater Arizona Bisbee Association in Tucson. That's a huge bicycling group, and there's about 1,200 members. And the other interview is with Wally Werner, who is the chief editor-in-chief of Adventure Cycling, and that's probably the most well-read magazine of any cyclist. It's got more than 40.
Is that a national magazine?
It is. It's international, actually. But it's basically, it's constituents are in the U.S. primarily. And Werner actually gave me a lot of research and statistics that I used to put this thing together too. So all I did here was give a brief overview and put together some of the impressions that came from Matt and Wally, and an overview of some of the research I looked at that investigated cyclotourism throughout. The first thing to do is to define it, because there's many different versions of bicycling. You've got mountain biking, you've got long distance touring, you've got Sunday riders, and everything in between. And I'm just talking about tourism in general, and it can involve any of these cyclists because they're all coming to Bisbee now. So, presently,
they're coming as tours?
They're coming in, oh, yes, I'll go through that. So let me go through, there's background here. Bisbee has a history of being a desirable biking location with La Vuelta that was over 10 years ago now that La Vuelta was taken on every year in Bisbee, and it drew cyclists from all over the world. Plus, it drew cyclists year-round who wanted to practice on the course or just wanted to experience the course. So there's a reputation here in Bisbee based up from La Vuelta. So presently now we've got three sources of ridership. There are two organized tours who come 6 weeks out of the year, and they come in March. They've got a specific bicycling itinerary. Then secondly, we've got the informal riding groups, and there's quite a few of them. One in particular, I'm sure you know of this one, Rob, the Sunday group. They do the Bisbee to Sierra Vista loop, and that's some high-powered cyclists that come here, and they always stop at Bisbee for their midpoint coffee. And then we have the recreational cyclists, and we see them through town. They come unnoticed pretty much, except for their colorful clothing, but they are coming here mostly from Tucson and Phoenix, but we don't know a lot about them, why they've come, or what the incentives are. Okay, so a survey of cyclists and their demographics. Wally Werner gave me this information. First of all, they're a desirable target group because they're well off, and up to 60% have incomes of over $100,000. They are well educated. 60 to 75% have a college education. They tend to be between 40 to 55 for the road cyclists and the younger age group for the mountain bikers. And they travel with groups and families. And interestingly, I didn't know this, they tend to spend more per day than other tourists, especially on food and services. And not to be underestimated, they have very little impact on the environment. So when I talked to these guys, I asked them what were the most important things in developing a bicycle-friendly town. And first and foremost, it's infrastructure. They said over and over again, you can't emphasize infrastructure. And Tucson's a great example of this. They've got bicycle maps with miles and miles of bicycle lanes. They've got touring maps, and they have one of the most extensive biking networks. And also, interestingly, they have instituted a law where any road construction or any road improvements have to take into consideration a bicycle lane. Now, I don't know if that means actually creating one, but they have to at least make a shoulder that's navigable by and safe for bicyclists. So Werner talked about four conditions for the infrastructure. It's got to be safe, it's got to be continuous, so you don't have cyclists going back and forth across the street to link up with the routes. It's got to be comfortable, so it's not on a bitten up road. And it's got to be attractive, scenic, and nice to ride on. So the measures he suggested for improving the infrastructure is to have signs that say share the road, and at the highest level, bicycle lanes. The second most important thing is the information source. You need to have a single source that cyclists can go to look up trails, look up routes, find maps, that kind of thing. So, and make it easy for them to find them. There's also a need for a cycling guide booklet, something physical that they can look at and see the area. And also a booklet that has at least 3 physical maps of cycling routes and paths. One could be a favorite route for road bikers, another could feature a gravel grinding route, and another could do mountain biking. So the other characteristic is bicycle-friendly atmosphere, and there's a League of American Bicyclists who sponsor community bike-friendly programs, and they help communities develop bike-friendly programs. So the things that they say to include are adequate signage in the town, especially at the entrance of the town. Businesses, encourage businesses to display a bike-friendly sign. Bicycle racks are a big one. Bicycle racks somewhere in town or in front of facilities. And restaurants who advertise that cyclists are welcome in their bicycle attire, or even go so far as to name a menu option after bike, like bike, beer, and burgers was one that I saw. And also, bicyclists love ice cream and places where they can buy Gatorade and Powerade. Also, the lodging establishments, if they say welcome cyclists and provide a place where bicycles can be stored safely. The fourth thing is the off-bike activities. The surveys show that more and more cyclists are looking for things to do off-bike, and they're looking for interesting locations. They want to experience the local scene, and that's a big part of their decision-making. So, information to promote to them should include what to do in exploring the town. That would include hiking, tours, sightseeing, all that kind of stuff. So finally, I talked to them, Matt Hartman in particular. I said, give me an appraisal of Bisbee. What's the strengths and weaknesses, and how does it measure up? And what would he recommend? So first, as far as infrastructure, he said this is the weakest link in Bisbee. The roads in Bisbee are rideable, but generally, virtually none of them have an infrastructure that's easy for cyclists. Road shoulders barely exist. Cycling through town can be precarious with the vehicles and passenger traffic, and cyclists often have to ride in the traffic lane, which slows down traffic, causes congestion, and sometimes annoys the vehicle drivers. So I asked him about any specific things, and he organizes a tour and runs it, the Sonoyta Bisbee trip, every April. And so he's familiar with some of the features in Bisbee. And first and foremost, he talked about Highway 80. If you're traveling east into Bisbee, it's fairly safe from the junction of 90 to the 80. There's a bit of a shoulder, but there's plenty of places you can pull off and rest. There's an 8-mile hill that most cyclists will need to rest on. Going west, however, it's exhilarating and what he called a hair-raising experience. Riders quickly gain speed, and they can go 40 miles an hour, but there's hardly any shoulder at all. And if the cyclist has to maneuver a little bit to stay on track, it can be very dangerous for him. So it's really a route for only skilled cyclists to take. It wouldn't be something you would promote to the basic cycling population. The second concern he brought up was the tunnel. You'll see cyclists going in and out the tunnel, and this is a treacherous stretch of cycling. Heading west, there's a passing lane, but once traffic merges, then the cyclists have to go into the traffic lane. And the cyclists going through the tunnel coming east, there's virtually no shoulder at all, so they're riding in traffic. And it's dark in there. A lot of vehicles don't even put on their lights. And add to that, when you're in the tunnel, the noise of traffic sounds like a locomotive or a semi. The semis almost shake the tunnel. So that adds another risk to the cyclist's safety.
What about going over the divide?
Ah, there we go. That's one of the recommendations. Oh. Yep. The other concern he had was cycling out of Bisbee into the traffic circle. There's more room to ride, but the circle poses another potential hazard because many cyclists just don't know what to do, how to navigate it, and the traffic doesn't know how.
Many drivers don't know how to navigate it.
Exactly. The traffic, the drivers don't know how to anticipate what the cyclists are doing. So that was a big point for him. Next, he went on to the centralized information source. He says, we've got to pull together an information source. if you do a Google search, there's over 200 routes that people have posted about cycling in Bisbee. And it's interesting to note that the two handbooks I have on bicycling in southern Arizona, they only list, each of them only list one bicycling route in Bisbee. But there's 200 of varying distances, varying locations. So the trick is to pull together the major sources, which the major reliable sources, which is Map My Ride, Bike GPS, All Trails, which also has a lot of good hiking trails, Bike Gabba, and there's a few others that are good, and they all give as much as GPS points, descriptions of the course, mileage, and difficulty ratings. Now, mind you, these courses start in Bisbee, but they go all over from Sierra Vista, Douglas, Tombstone, and even farther on. But they're using Bisbee as a base in most of these postings.
Do you know if they're staying overnight in Bisbee?
Yes, they are. They are. Some of them are. Many of them come to Bisbee for the day from Sierra Vista, for example. But a lot of them stay in Bisbee and use it as a central location to do day trips out and about. So it's a... Undeniably, it's a huge task to pull this all together, but in an ideal world, someone would sift through these, pick out some of the best ones that you can kind of case the joint, if you will, go through some of the routes. Some of them clearly aren't viable at all, but others are very doable, and pull it together into a central site, probably tied in with the tourism site, so that riders could go to it and maybe find these links to these specific routes, or at the least, the site should provide links to the resources that list these routes, like All Trails and GPS Ride and Map My Trail. So there's got to be somewhere where the cyclist can go and get specific information about Bisbee rather than do a random search that takes them all over the place. And then the other requisite is a map, the fold-out map, a physical map that shows a few rides in Bisbee and could be something like local favorites, and map out the rides in colorful, easy-to-read mapping. And also it should list the rules of the road, remind cyclists of the rules of the road, because they're responsible for their own safety as well. And this should be fold up and able to fit in the back of their bicycling jersey. So as far as the friendly atmosphere, Matt thought this was the biggest strength. There are plenty of things to do in Bisbee. There's lots of options. It has a reputation for being such a unique, lovely destination. But there's no obvious signs that it is bicycle friendly. There's no signs. There's nothing that indicates bicyclists are welcome. So as a straightforward and effective way is to locate some sign centrally in the public. This could be as simple as a sign with a bicycle on it, or it could be one that clearly announces that Bisbee is bicycle friendly. You can encourage local businesses to put signs in their shops that say cyclists welcome, so that cyclists know they can walk around in their cycling shoes without causing any problem with the owners. So those are just some of the steps that can be taken on a simple level. And then the other thing is a bike rack. To put a bike rack in town signals that bikes are welcome. And it also gives the cyclists a safe place where they can lock their bikes and go browsing in the shops.
I think Grassy Park, three bikes are welcome.
Yes, yes, but there's something central in this in town, like at Rob Page's place. Wink, wink.
You got a whole parking lot out there.
I know.
You just line them up.
So I'm just going to give you an overview of the recommendations we came up with. First of all, the sign postage, informing drivers and cyclists that there's traffic, share the road signs, or signs with bicycles. And then the bike rack is another important one. Then something that informs a source that informs cyclists of the problem areas. Bicycle maps, relevant websites, and other sources should point out the lack of shoulder on 80 heading east and recommend that only skilled riders take this route, and it should caution against riding through the tunnel and recommend that riders opt for the old divide road, either come in or out of Bisbee. And then it should also provide instructions as to how to navigate the traffic circle, because cyclists don't know if they should stay to the right or if they should join the other traffic and act like a vehicle, which is what they should do. And then ultimately, creating a bike lane is the best option for inviting bicycle traffic. And there is currently a small but very active group that is lobbying for a bicycle lane going from Old Bisbee to Lowell. And it's not clear if they're looking for a bicycle lane on the other side that would bring them back up to Bisbee, but this is spearheaded by Megan Connolly, who's very active in pursuing this, and she's recently met with representatives from both Freeport and Ada to push forward this project.
There's been a lot of talk over the years about a sort of a running zone or a pedestrian kind of zone. How's the bicycle zone going to interact with that? You're going to be running along it and not going to
run that? You could do a dual purpose, because right now even pedestrians are kind of squished. Yeah. It's dangerous for pedestrians. So it would ideally be multi-purpose, which isn't a problem. You have one bike lane and one pedestrian lane with arrows showing who goes where. As I said, the question is, I'm not sure if they're pushing for one to go back up. You wouldn't want one bike lane with two directions. I have seen that, but it's even more treacherous than not having one at all. Okay. So the other big task is to pull together that information of the cycling routes, choose among the safest, most scenic, make a cohort of these routes and somehow give access to it. Again, it should be linked in under the tourism websites, and so that people can go right to Bisbee. They're looking for Bisbee adventures, and this is one of the things that will pop up. Then we also need a fold-out map, a physical map that has two or three cycling routes. And several routes come to mind, and I'm sure Rob has a couple that come to mind too that are safe, scenic, and probably a good distance that you can vary. You could go 15 miles or you could go 40 miles. That would be easy to pull together. And then it also gives information about bicycle shops, maybe list places to eat. I don't know if that would go over. And the fold-out should contain, again, rules for the road for cyclists. So we talked, Matt and I talked about how to promote Bisbee in the perfect world. So word of mouth, he said, is very effective, and it goes on a lot. He said that Bisbee gets a good plug from the people who do the Sonoyta Bisbee ride. And there are also more than 25 websites, blogs, Facebook pages that cyclists use to critique their own bicycling experience. And these can be researched for any bike Bisbee reviews and then actively engaged. We can post our own routes and reviews of cycling in Bisbee. So we also talked about designing a bike Bisbee campaign. Now this would be an investment in promotional material, brochures, rack cards, anything that would highlight the unique parts of Bisbee, and then come up with slogans. We came up with Stay Cool in Bisbee, promoting the cool temperatures in the summer. How about Elevate Yourself, Bike Bisbee, for the elevation, and anything like this to make it snappy and get people's attention. And most of all, there should be a section dedicated to bicycle media so that they can access the routes that are listed on this one site shopping. So there's also advertising in bicycle news media, and the obvious targets are Tucson and Phoenix. Tucson has two different papers that are published every few months that all the cyclists read, and Phoenix has a number of them. I counted six, all which are widely read. And the stores, the shops, the bicycle shops, all dedicate a space to disseminating these information about bicycling in Arizona. Then we also talked about promoting Bisbee through the group websites. There are at least 25 bicycling groups scattered throughout Arizona. Most welcome advertising and at a very reasonable rate on their pages. And some will post ads for free. But linking in with the bicycle groups is very effective. And that would include promoting Bike Bisbee through social media. He also suggested going big scale here, hire or encourage a professional promoter to organize a bicycling event. For example, charity events are very popular among bicyclists, and this would put Bisbee on the map of a lot of cyclists. And on a much larger scale, seek out some private entrepreneur to create a Bisbee bike camp. That you could bottle this after the Arizona Gravel Camp, which is held in February in Patagonia. It's a five-day camp that costs $2,420 per cyclist, and it features guided rides around Patagonia, Nogales, even into Tucson over the five-day period. And then it's also partnered with the lodging and food industry, so it's got itineraries set up where they're going to eat here, they're going to stay here, they're going to stay there.
It's a package.
It's a package deal. Then we also talked about in Tucson, the GABA has an advisory group, and it started out with an advisory group way long ago that looked over the recommendations, came up with a master plan, and then looked at ways to implement that plan. And he suggested that this would include, of course, bicyclists themselves, people who are familiar with the routes in Bisbee, the business owners, to get them a stake and buy into this project, some citizens in the community, and probably a city representative, the director of tourism, and any other stakeholders that come to mind. So that group would connect also with that smaller group that is trying to get the bicycle lane going, so that we've got group effort going on throughout. So that is the basic of what I wrote. You can read it in detail if you like.
We will. What are we talking about, the population of bicyclists coming to Bisbee?
That's a good question, Stan, and we don't know. We don't know.
It hasn't been tracked, I guess.
It hasn't been tracked. We've got a couple hundred coming in with each of the tours. And then we've got the cycling group on Sunday, I know, comes between 12 to 20 cyclists, and then we've got random people just stopping by. And there's plenty of them. You can see it on any Saturday or Sunday. There's plenty of them that are coming in, but there isn't any information about them. It would be nice to do a little focus group or some interviews to find out where they came up with Bisbee, and are they telling other people, which they probably are.
Is there anything now in these various press things that you talked about, the bicyclists read?
The
articles
bicycle
on Bisbee?
No. This was what Matt had come up with problems that were brought to him by his group about don't ride down the 80 or don't go up the 80, and himself riding it too, myself riding it too. You've ridden it, haven't you, Rob? It can be harrowing. And if you're trying to promote safety, that wouldn't be a place that you would herd people to try. But there's options. Go down the divide or go up the divide to get on that road or get through it. But he was mentioning his opinions were based on what he has experienced himself and what his ridership has told him.
A couple things, if I, when everybody else...
What do you think?
You know, it's a lot to chew on, and it's a lot to think about. I think the quickest way would be for you and I to get together and start with our business to kind of nibble on it and see if we can't take care of a couple of little issues like bike racks and stuff like that, and then address some of the concerns about the brochure that you're talking about. I think we can do that.
I agree. That's a good start.
Because we're benefiting.
I know.
We benefit tremendously every Sunday and Saturday because we've got anywhere from 15 to 20 of them outside the shop. And Tavolo, I mean, we plastered that place with Tour de France pictures.
It's very bike-friendly.
We geared that for the first 3 years just to cyclists. And it worked out great for a while. And they're always using our restrooms.
So I know. Yours is a central location. We just want to make it more than a place to go to the bathroom and get a latte.
Yeah.
To extend that into exploring the whole town.
What about, I don't know, by sort of the mentality now, but there's some things you could do that really won't cost too much, but once we get a tourism director or somebody that knows how to do the sites, I can see doing a page on there. And you talked about several routes. Instead of doing a print thing at the moment, why can't you just have them on that website that are downloadable?
They would be. It would be also on the website, and it would be a fold out, because sometimes people go somewhere and they can't get a signal. But to have that fold out, there are a lot of people that want to look at that map.
But what I'm talking about, instead of going right now and committing to a printing thing, if it's on the website, allow people to just print that out and they can fold it and put it in their
pocket. Yes, they could, and that's what Bike Tucson does. They've got it as they have it on their website, so you can download a color copy of it as well.
And that saves an upfront cost right away and see how it's used.
I'll tell you, though, when I went to Tucson and went to all the different bike shops to get one of those maps so that I could show it to you, they were all out. And they are regularly stocked with them, so it wasn't like they had neglected it. They just didn't have any more. And Matt actually forgot to bring me one when we did our interview. So
we could stock it, maybe team up with Ken. And
yes, exactly. Ken would be a great collaborator.
His place, and maybe High Desert Market might carry it. Those are the places I always see the cyclist. And start with that and just nibble at it and then see if we can address the bigger ones.
Yes, I was thinking that cycling map is doable. It would take some time and effort, but I think it's doable. And as Carrie said, it could, first of all, just be something on the website that they download, and then later on make that nice little fold-out that they can take with them. Yeah. It's also just a reminder. They put it in their pocket, they take it home, and they show it to someone else. So that works well.
It also seems that we could plant some articles in these bicycle periodicals about biking in Bisbee. Mm-hmm. Are there three well-known trails in Bisbee? Pardon my ignorance on this, but I'm really ignorant.
There's a couple. Carrie, you mentioned one. You said Double Adobe has some nice... Mm. It does. It does. I went out and looked at it, and it's very friendly. It's very doable, so it wouldn't be too challenging. The other one I always like is the one that goes from Montezuma and goes to Parker Lake. That's a long one. But it's safe.
Then you have the Southern Route into Sierra Vista, and then...
Well, as far as road biking is concerned, there are some very popular routes. There's the Erlewine route. There's the Hereford route. A third one, there's options for a third one. But those are the most common, and they allow cyclists to go different distances as well.
There's a single track trail that's being established starting at Juniper Flats.
Really?
Up to the top and then coming down the ridge.
The problem, starting at Juniper Flats, but that's county property, isn't it? You'd have to get the owners to buy the property owners there to buy.
I know when my son was doing all his mountain biking, they just go up the Juniper Flats, up to the towers. They go over to High Lonesome Road.
High Lonesome Road is what I went on, that you had suggested. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's more dirt biking.
That's gravel grinding. That is the quintessential gravel grinding course right there.
And then the road going up to the towers is also the same.
It's
my generation was dirt biking. I like gravel grinders better, but it's the same thing.
I agree. The only thing would be getting the property owners on Juniper Flats to buy into it.
Well, but there's a road that goes up there that's not owned by, that road's not owned by private individuals, is it?
Yeah, I can find out if somebody gives me a map of where the route is. I can pull it up.
I think we need to take a look at that.
Mm-hmm. Because I just need a map.
There's a history that at one point we started talking about hiking. Suddenly, the whole Zacatecas Canyon thing came up, of people being concerned about hikers walking by their house and things.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like to me, obviously this is something for the director of tourism, but it looks like you've latched into one that makes us, does that make us into a unique market, or there's bicycle markets all over Arizona?
We've always been a unique market, but it's a unique market.
For bicycles?
Yeah, I mean, the guys that come down from Vermont Bicycle Tour see us as a special place to visit. They have for about 10 years.
It's always been there, we just haven't tapped into it.
We haven't acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, how do we acknowledge it?
Well, by the steps that I pointed out, a lot of it is pie in the sky. I don't see us making bike lanes in the next couple of years.
No.
But the baby steps would be really helpful. And then linking in with those bicycle groups. Now, that is easy. It just takes someone going on, posting on there, advertising routes and just being persistent.
A video.
A video, even better.
We could do a video.
And put them on, link them.
Yeah.
They will. Some of them will.
Yeah,
some of them will.
We are video professionals.
Oh. Oh, that would be a cool one too. But and especially in Phoenix, they come down here. According to Matt, he says, I know that you're getting a lot of people from Phoenix coming here in the summer to ride because it's still rideable. Tucson as well. But
that's a great audience to develop because we're dead in the summer.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of Phoenix goes north.
I like the demographics on it too.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The demographics on who's riding these bicycles is interesting. Okay. It seems that we could do a couple things that would cost us very little, or almost nothing. One, we could write an article for the bicycling periodicals and submit it for publication.
True, but that is, it's not a sure bet that they would publish it.
Right.
But at the least, I think we could contact those bicycle groups and actually contact the editors and say, what do you suggest for us promoting Bisbee here and there, whatnot? And
well, I think one sort of preparation piece would be get to prepare the materials to go on to Discover Bisbee.
Yes, absolutely.
And so when we do get somebody in with the knowledge to do that, they're ready to go.
Yep. Yeah, and we can contact the bicycle groups, point them in this direction. But that's a free, easy to do. Well, it's time consuming. But
you said, you know, to create the maps is going to be time consuming.
Yeah.
But sort of get that ready. And that could be a piece that can be have multiple uses in the future. Mm-hmm. But it gets you out there at least basically with a lot of work and virtually no money.
You know, you just made me think you could start with one and then build it. And the suggestion was you should have at least three that are recommended.
Three bicycle trails.
Three courses.
Three
courses,
routes. You call them courses.
And they give them a reason to come down and stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
that's
say, here's a sample just to whet their appetite, and then
if you start now, you have some time before. I don't know what's going. We're going to have an update on what's going on with the tourism position. But at least get that ready to go, to roll out as soon as we have somebody.
Right. And who will do it?
Well,
I don't think anymore.
I think a couple things. I think one, a nice job of research. Very
well,
nice.
Thank
job.
You.
Very good.
No, very it was good. Fun. It was fun.
Well, and you pointed us to a market. Now, obviously, we have a director of tourism. It's obviously a market to work out. But it's obvious also, as I sit here, that you and Rob Page are bicycle people.
Rob, weren't you a Cat 4 at one time?
Cat 3.
Cat 3.
Cat 3.
That's high up there. Was that when you were riding in Vermont?
New York.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's something to brag about. I don't know many Cat 3 riders.
Okay, for some of us who have no idea.
I know,
what
but that
Cat 3 what
it rates four. It's four. Four is the
it's four.
Four is like the highest competition level, but three is putting pressure on the fours.
Is that competitive biking?
It is. Mm-hmm. You were competitive for biking,
money, yeah.
Weren't you?
For money.
Three second place finishes.
Wow.
Wow. I'd rather be second
so
place.
So tell me,
than
you're
no
a biker.
Place.
What do you think? Is we got a market here?
We've had a market for years. I've been a USCF cycling official since, 99? 2000? Martin Cole and I have been riding for a long time. I stopped riding about 8 years ago, and I picked it up last year again. So it's probably the number one sport in the county that has been just consistently growing.
Yep.
It's a major source of business for us. Santiago does really great business with the group from The Surge. They're great people. A lot of them are from Fort Huachuca, so there's a lot of networking and tie-ins with that market. So we've been enjoying it for years. We've just never really acknowledged it in a way that you're addressing.
But I think this is a step two. But if we have some materials prepared,
mm-hmm.
this sounds like something we'd want to bring the Cochise County Tourism Council in on mm-hmm. as well, because I don't want them to decide to use Sierra Vista as the hub.
Yep.
But these rides are pretty much around the county down here. This is the southern portion of the county.
They are, and the interesting thing was looking at the Bisbee routes, they listed routes that were in Sierra Vista and in Douglas mm-hmm. and Tombstone, but if you just do a random search, you're not going to come up with Bisbee. You're going to come up with Sierra Vista, mm-hmm. and then Bisbee might be mentioned in that. So these routes identify Bisbee as the center place to cycle. Now, interestingly, do you remember the Cochise Classic that they had? They had a Cochise Classic. Yeah. It was, gosh, I think the longest was 150 miles. It was varying distances. And that was in October. But it died. They just didn't have the patronage. And I asked Matt what happened there, and he said perimeter bicycling had some issues that they had to deal with, and so that got thrown by the wayside. But that was at one time a pretty popular event that took people all over Cochise County.
It's all about the people that put it together.
It is, isn't it?
The only reason we don't have La Vuelta anymore is because Albert just
said no more.
Burned out. He just burned out. I mean, he did it for what, 20 plus yeah. years, 25 years?
So it's all about somebody picking up the ball and running
well,
it and
I think
make something.
When I've talked with Ken, he would be interested in putting on an event. He has done that in the past, and I think he bemoans the fact that nothing's being done, but he would be definitely a good advisor at the least.
So the best people to get together would be you, myself, Martin Cole, Mike from M&M, the guys from Sunspokes, and
yep.
Ken.
Yeah.
And if we all got together and said, what three things can we do to make cycling in Cochise County more attractive with the emphasis on Bisbee, we could walk out of that meeting after coffee and have three concrete ideas that we could probably knock out within a couple of months.
That would be the best follow-up to this
whole
thing.
You guys want to sort of take that on?
Yeah.
Fun hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Why don't we do that and come back to us? I like the demographics of the market. I think it's interesting. Bisbee has some history. We used to be the hub for Birdie.
Oh.
For a short period,
uh-huh.
where they centered birding out of Bisbee. This was probably 20 years ago. And then Sierra Vista said, no, and we didn't have the hotel space, and there was some question about the birders not, apparently they ate a lot of candy bars and left their scraps around. But I mean, we've had a history of this, and if we can make Bisbee a center for bicycling, it will bring tourists to town. And as you both are indicating, this is an increasingly popular sport.
No question about it.
And then we also can use our Discover Bisbee site. Part of this is when we get our director of tourism, mm-hmm. but part of this, guys, frankly, is you both of you putting this together in terms of starting it out.
And it still ties into recreation.
It absolutely ties into recreation.
Yeah.
I mean, and to me, this makes sense to do this. So, Stephanie, again, congratulations.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Very, very nice.
Well, I hope we can get something going. Even the baby steps.
Yeah. Maybe the baby steps can start with a bike rack, for God's sake.
A couple of them.
Very doable.
A couple of
yeah.
them.
We welcome three bikes and three.
Well, you know, you
take up two.
If you took up one parking space with a bicycle rack that holds 10. You just substituted one lost customer, maybe, for the 10 that you gained.
I would be really wary of parking spaces going
true.
Into the near future because they're going to be yanking some more out.
Okay, yeah, that's stay away from
we're
that.
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Did you have something?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your attention, you guys.
I'm going to move on to our agenda. Rob, I'd like to have an update on the beta test for Slack. Slack's going public, by the way.
Pardon?
Slack is going to go.
I know.
Oh, wow.
It's in a very unique way.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, Slack is going public. That's good news. It's good news because the platform has been proven to work. It's not quite working in our city. It is working in our business. But there are some challenges that I think are mirroring the kind of challenges that we're going to have with Slack in the community. I spent the last week talking to a lot of different merchants about their hesitancy and their resistance to get on Slack. the main resistance is we're inundated with social media, we're inundated with ability, with ways to communicate. We don't see how this is meaningful. And I went back to our company and I found, you know, there's maybe 20, 30 people that are not on Slack. And I went to them and I said, so tell me about it. And they said, well, you know, it's just one more thing. It's kind of it's the cool kids are on it. We don't really want that little ding, 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 ding all the time. And so what we've narrowed it down to is, and I talked to Morgan about this morning, just trying to hit very specific, important topics that are just used on Slack. We've got to get the city involved in it. We've got to get, everybody has to say something that's important at one time or another. If I can't get people into it, if they don't see it as viable, then I can't really force somebody to use it. I met with Cynthia Conroy, came by my office today, and that's always exciting. but she was echoing the same thing that Morgan was frustrated with, the same thing that Ken was frustrated with, the same thing that Mel was frustrated with, and that is there's no Chamber of Commerce. Right. There's no communication. So the conversation is getting louder about the lack of communication, but it's not...
There's no solution to it.
There's no solution, right? So, and I told Mel as I was coming over here, I said, you need to get on to Slack. He goes, I know, Robert. it's just so hard to learn all these new things. And I said, I will teach you. It takes 15 minutes to teach you.
Well, you posted the agenda for this meeting on Slack, or someone
did. Yeah, I posted the agenda for this meeting. Stephanie and I did a movie together. We did a 2.5-minute interview with folks out on Main Street in an attempt to get people to see the benefit of being a part, and I didn't post it anywhere else because we promised the people that we interviewed that we wouldn't post it on Facebook or social media. We'd just put it on Slack. Over the weekend, two weekends ago, there were some people that were caught allegedly robbing a couple of stores. And Kathy put this on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Now, I know Kathy's listening. That's trouble. You can't put onto social media that someone is stealing unless they're guilty, because they will come back and you'll be recorded. That's character.
Absolutely.
They did the same thing with a couple of other people. Over time, they've had seven, and I'll say be specific, five names on Facebook that, you know, can get you in trouble. Whereas if you just went to one or two or five merchants on Slack, which is by invitation only, you eliminate some of that liability.
And also you notify the merchants that there could be some people
right,
looking to steal something.
And this is Bisbee Merchants' Facebook page, right? Which is a pretty active Facebook page, so I've been going there and trying to drag these folks. Come on over to Slack, see what it's got. I've been instant messaging a lot of people. Some people still haven't accepted the invitation to be on Slack. So I don't know. It's a little frustrating. I know the viability of the platform. Our organization, like I said, mirrors some of the same challenges. So we're posting only on Mondays and Fridays in the general section, and we're starting to take the random conversations and push them into a random conversations page that people can listen to if they want to. Otherwise, there's literally like 40 kids that are just ding, 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 ding all day long. Yeah.
So how many merchants, how many people, business people do you have on Slack now?
Active?
Yeah.
Seven.
Mm-hmm.
That have accepted invitations, about 23, that have invitations pending, another 20.
I look at it sometimes.
Do those people need training, or what do they?
I don't know. Just don't know. It's one of those things where if you don't want a Chamber of Commerce, you don't want to communicate, you have to create this little niche of people who are communicating, like iBisbee. I think a lot of people are looking to this group to make a lot of these decisions. The mayor's here, we're talking about this, we interviewed the visitor center candidate. Now this is hopeful. Optimistically, Kelly Galligan and Kathy Sowden, the two of them got on there and really went after the Ron Short before he came in. They were active in posting his resume and why they didn't think he was probably the best person. Now that's not
this was Facebook?
This was Slack.
Oh,
okay.
It was during that time period, Slack was Slack very was, active.
People got interested.
It was very active. And kudos to Fred because he pointed out our video again and sent people to the video and said, hey, go check this out. And I think it got 5 views.
Well,
oh, it was fun.
Put it on,
it was fun.
Would have gotten 1,000 views. But it also sounds like you're generating interest.
And it's slow. And in talking to Morgan this morning, he said, I wouldn't give up on it. I'd keep pushing it. He's got his own business frustrations like we do. And
sure.
He still thinks that there's a lot left to be done. He thinks there's need for a Chamber of Commerce. But not a Chamber of Commerce, because nobody wants that. Something very different, you know. I don't know what that is, but it's frustrating to me because we're using it and enjoying the heck out of it, and just can't seem to get everybody.
Sounds interested. Kind of like having an 18-hole golf.
I would suggest. Yeah. I would suggest we continue getting people interested in this, because right now, if the city wanted to communicate with the business community, they would use our list. Primarily that we did when we had the meeting with the mayor. Mm-hmm.
I think that's important that the city post things periodically, that they get involved in it. Otherwise, folks are just going to see it's forgotten. And it doesn't have to be everything, but maybe specific items of importance. I don't know if posting agenda items on there would be useful, but something has to jumpstart this. Otherwise, we fall back to Facebook, and that's not viable. Or we just fall back to trying to put together a merchants association.
That you guys have a pretty extensive list that you send the agendas out to.
Can you
on a regular basis.
Is that all right?
What?
Is it possible to post it on Slack?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get with you.
Okay.
I think that would make some sense. We can at least start showing the agendas. As we get into the city manager search,
that gets interest.
Yeah.
That generates interest.
That generates interest. Exactly.
And it all depends on how much, where it's posted elsewhere. You know, if it's posted on Facebook, I'm not a fan of Facebook. I mean, we do a lot of marketing there, and it definitely pays for itself. But I'm not a fan from the social media side.
It paid off. It was lovely for the Stern family.
There's so much liability on it. I mean, I love it. We use it. We use it every day. But as far as a communication tool for merchant groups and things like that, I don't think it's...
Let me suggest that the next thing we post are the agendas for the city council meetings.
Okay.
And then, as they get into the city manager search, and they start narrowing it down, that gives us an opportunity to post there, too.
Okay.
We're not doing that.
No?
The city manager is going to be... the interviews, it'll be set up, it's going to be the 17th of June.
Okay.
But we will not be, it's going to be only just before that, before a short list is provided.
Okay.
We have backgrounds being done on 3 people right now.
Okay, so you have viable candidates.
We have 3 people that we have chosen to interview, yes.
Okay.
Out of 19?
That's good.
Okay.
But the point is, we're not putting it out into the public. Until we do the backgrounds.
Right, of course.
If something serves in the background, then we'll go to plan B.
Remember, you used to, I don't follow your mayor page, remember you used to have a mayor page, but you shut it down?
Yes.
Is there any way we could pull that back up on a Slack? Is that shit? Is that a problem?
No. Okay. It's only a problem because it was misused and I'm not allowed to filter it.
Okay, I understand. That makes sense.
By law.
That makes sense.
Okay. But what about if it's on Slack, it's by invitation only? Would that be a problem?
It's invitation only, and the admins have the decision to...
But him posting the mayor's page, I think that might get a little...
I would talk to the attorney general.
Yeah.
We're on a first-name basis.
Well, get 4 or 5 opinions from attorneys so that somebody will like one of them.
Okay.
Thank you for not giving up on it.
We're not going to give up on it.
It will work. It just takes more time than you can do
it's a program.
Anywhere else.
We're not going to give up on you.
Good.
No. Let's move on to the next topic. An update in the search for the director of tourism. City manager and I have been trading calls today. So my update is that they did go to, there was a concern that they didn't go to a national search site where people who are looking for jobs would find us. And in fact, they did. And they're going back to that site. I want to talk to Steve Paulkin. I want to know if the Arizona Office of Tourism has been contacted about this opening. I want to know about the State Chamber of Commerce. I think we somehow got to focus our search here.
But we also mentioned like the Tucson Weekly and the New Times.
Exactly, exactly.
And so, this whatever.
I do need to be heard about this.
Yeah.
You need what?
I need to be heard about this. I need to discuss this.
Sure, absolutely.
It's actually more fundamental than that. This group has got to, this committee has got to come up with a cohesive idea about what you want in this person.
Okay.
I sat here at the last meeting, and each person had something different that they thought this person should be doing, or what your skill set should be. And there was without a doubt that wasn't the person for the job. But nevertheless, I could see why he was getting frustrated also. So I'm going to ask that you have this. But you have to remember, on my next agenda on Tuesday, the council will be making a decision about this position. So you've said a dozen times, and rightfully so, director of tourism. They haven't decided that that's what they want. They can easily decide that they want nothing else other than somebody sitting up there at the visitor center for however many hours a day at that much, much lower salary, particularly because we're $800,000 in the red right now because of unlimited spending wishing. So my suggestion to the committee is to have a good understanding of what the committee wants as a total, concise, and bring it to the council Tuesday and call to the public. I'm telling you, it's my opinion that you're going to have to push the council to pass this. We have, I think, several votes that are going to be tourism isn't that important, and it's not in my ward anyway, or even people that it might be in their ward think that it may not be that important. And so I think you're going to have to do some lobbying that way. You may even consider lobbying your representatives before that, just for this reason.
Okay.
You're going to need to, you're going to have to come up with some kind of a presentation. Just a short, concise, boom, here's what we believe we need.
So we can have three people do this without a quorum issue?
Well, I can do a quorum notice for that meeting.
Yeah.
No, but we have to get this done before Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, no more than three.
No more than
three. Why don't three of us? Because my approach would be why this is important.
Yeah, let me just follow up with one other thing, if I might. And Rob kind of brought it up, and you all have talked around about it. We mentioned chamber a couple times here. It's plain that nobody wants a chamber because they don't want to put the work in on doing a chamber. Mm-hmm. Okay. The city, and I've got to tell you, I personally, on occasion, feel that the business community is wanting the city to be the chamber and to do the job that the chamber is supposed to be doing. And that is tourism and plugging tourism. And you're asking the city to do it without us having the funding or the smarts to do it. That's just my opinion.
But didn't that evolve when the bed tax went back to the city?
The city is funding that. That's a funding operation.
No, but didn't the Chamber of Commerce at one time have the bed tax?
When they were combined.
Yeah, when the visitor center
was combined with them.
When they split, they lost it.
Yeah. So I think it was that's part of the history of the deterioration of the Chamber, was that split.
Well, then
so
that, but that,
when the city took that money
history,
back
yeah.
and that purpose back, I don't think it's. I think your kind of perception that we for ungrateful people think the city should do
I,
it.
I didn't say that. Karen.
But it's more. I think when the split occurred, you know, at that time the city felt it had better resources, and it did.
And it did.
And so. And I think our previous director did an amazing job. And I think what has to happen is we need to start saying, this is a revenue generator kind
of
position.
You're preaching to the choir. You don't tell me. Don't, I mean, I'm not trying to be. I should say you're preaching to the choir. You're going to have to preach to other people.
Is it time to bring the chamber and the visitor center back together?
Well, here's what the Hispanic Chamber is ready to come in here. They've got 30 people that are interested in joining. They've got a half a dozen or maybe 12 people that are members already. Dan Valle is ready to step in here, create a Bisbee Hispanic Chamber, what's second biggest chamber in Arizona, the fastest growing chamber in Arizona.
And who does it serve?
Every business owner.
I think the question is, why is it called Hispanic?
Because that's who started it. It was okay. Started in South Tucson.
Okay.
And it caters to Mexico also. We have a number of places in Mexico. You've noticed there's a couple of merchants that have their logo and it says we speak Spanish or habla español.
Right.
There's the same ones that are in Mexico in some of the stores that say we speak English.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is not only within Santa Cruz County, Pima County, and Cochise County. It's also in Mexico and throughout the state of Sonora.
Okay.
And so it does have some clout by the numbers and so forth. They're willing to step in here and to help us out. So that's slightly off. Well, it's on the subject, but okay. So anyway, I'm just saying that we need to. The council's got to make that decision. What do you? Before we can go that next step about what do we about some of the things that you're discussing, we've got to get that position in place.
Right.
Do you feel that the city would be willing to give the tourism related taxes back to a different organization that's not city?
Well, I don't feel anything about that. I mean, you're asking. You know, the bed tax is sunsetted. The 1% is sunsetted.
Yeah, but there was the other bed tax under that.
Well, 2.5%, yeah. Yeah, 2.5%. And, you know, we because of the state now changing the law, we can't go in until the general election in 2020. And at that point, I'll be asking for a 5% total. But anyway, So
the message that I'm getting is we now have 6 days in which to come up with two things. A lobbying move where we talk with our council people about this. Secondly, a presentation for the council of about 3 minutes of why the director of tourism is a damn important thing to have.
Yes, sir.
We do know, and I'm going to take the lowest end of this, that about 40% of the sales tax money, according to work done by the Cochise College, but a number of years ago, emanates from tourism. That's a lot of money. We do know that we have a specific thing, and that tourism is our primary industry in our town. And that's not going to change. Having fought this battle for 4.5 years, I'm sure it's not going to change. So, we either can do it in a special meeting and we sit around and talk this thing through, or we can have 3 people come up with ideas. And I'm open to either way you'd like to do it.
Well, because special meeting would have to be Monday.
It would have to be Monday. And
well, we don't even know that.
I'd have to look at the calendar.
Well, we could. Well, we've had a special meeting before at the museum. When we did the
We have to have space for it, is what I'm saying.
Huh?
We have to have space and staff for it.
Oh, but if it's just three people,
it's not just, right? It's
got it, it's got it.
I was wondering if Stephanie wanted to be in on it.
Stephanie, would you like to
be? You know, I'll be away for my mother's 90th birthday this
Good for
weekend.
Her.
So
Good for her.
I'm out.
Denise, would you like to be in on this?
I think you three are the better ones.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Okay, yeah. We can do that without noticing them.
Correct.
Can you resend us the city's job description or whatever that was, where everything was high valued, ranked?
You want the new one today?
The actual.
I think you should send them both if you don't mind, Diana.
No problem. We'll send both.
Because I would hate to see this thing revert to someone sitting at the mine tour. Mm. And what I'm hearing is that's a possibility that's probably more real.
Well, yes, quite bluntly, the interim city manager doesn't think that this is that worth a disposition. He thinks that somebody at the mine tour is just fine.
Oh, so. My.
But she has no skill set for where we are. Rob, do you have time tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Thursday, yes.
Thursday or Friday?
I have time tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. So you're going to have to.
Tomorrow,
we're going to have to lobby.
We're doing it right now.
Yeah, tomorrow, but not Friday.
Tomorrow is what?
Thursday. Tomorrow, but not Friday.
Okay. Tomorrow's good.
Thursday.
I'm good.
Okay. After 11, possible?
Let me see what I have. That would be good. Do you want to meet at the museum?
Sure.
At 11?
Sure.
Okay. Can you get up there? Do you want to meet at your house at 11?
I'd like to meet at my house at 11 if we could.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll even serve coffee and
croissant.
Oh, I want to go now.
No, just kidding. What kind of donuts?
Yeah, we'll have it at the house and we'll get some pastry or something. Although I've been off sugar now for 2 months.
11 o'clock?
11 o'clock at my house.
You're good. I could bring coffee if you like.
I can make coffee. I'm okay. I've got filters and coffee. I'm in good shape. I'm in good shape. I've got a great table for us to sit around, too. Okay, we'll meet at the house at 11 o'clock. David, we're going to do our best to do this. I mean, we obviously, I've got a neighbor who's a councilman, but I don't even know what he looks like. But
I've already talked to one of ours.
Bill? Okay.
That's
who I was going to call.
That's not who I would.
We need to talk to Lester.
I'm going to have get Kathy involved too. She can call Jamie. Jamie? Is that the lady's
name? No, Lester. Leslie.
Leslie?
Yeah.
Okay. Our problem's going to be my council people, and I won't. Do you have their phone numbers that I can...
They only give out Ashley's phone number.
Nope.
So you have to contact them with their email because they don't give out their phone numbers.
Yeah. They're the only councilmen that don't...
Okay, that's fair. Do we have their email addresses?
I can send it to you.
Can you send that to me? And I will send them the thing that I would like to talk to them.
At 11 a.m.
No, but I mean, obviously, Anna Klein, I can talk to. The other guy, I don't know anything about, so.
Your email address, just FYI, is always the first initial and their last name. At bisbeaz.gov.
Still need it. Okay. Okay. Rob, we got our work cut off.
Sorry to rain on your parade.
No, that's perfectly fine. I'm glad you did. And we also got a problem with my former neighbor, so I won't. Talk to my former neighbor. Talking with my immediate neighbor. Okay. I want to now move on to item 7. This is a discussion regarding parking. Kathy brought this up to me, and as I indicated in our opening, she's had a surgery today. But the particularly at high volume weekends, your lot is open, right, for people? Are you filming it on high volume weekends?
Yeah.
Every weekend. Yes.
Do we need another alternative for parking?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's always good. This is, boy, this is such a touchy subject. I've wrestled with this subject now for 20 years.
Okay.
And I've proposed with John Charlie several remedies. Back when we were in litigation with the city, we proposed several remedies that would get us out of litigation. The city's not open. At that time, they weren't open to any of them. One is parking permits for people that live here, you know, in places where you have, we can count as people in the community, 10, 20, 30 cars that are parked there that don't run, parked in spaces that don't operate. This is up in Quality Hill area. We've got that right in front of the Women's Club Center. All over, there's just cars that don't run that just sit there. We have raised the rate in parking at the parking lot, and we haven't had any pushback.
How much are you charging now?
$10 on busy weekends, $5 on non-busy weekends and out of season. And we don't have anything to do with that. Now that's David. We rent it to David, and he gives us 50%.
David is
BTC, Bisbee Tourism Company.
Okay.
He manages that. He manages the people. We don't have anything to do with it. He gives us the cash at the end of the day, and we call it even. And for the first time in probably 23 years, the Cochise County Tax Assessor sent us a thank you note for paying our taxes on time. Because we're able to do that with the money from the parking. Because the revenue generated from the rents inside the building don't do that. So it's great. Someday somebody will buy that parking lot and do whatever they want with it. But if somebody takes that parking lot and decides to put something on it, then you have a serious parking problem.
Unless it's a parking garage.
Unless it's a parking garage at $10,000 a space.
Yeah.
You know, that was.
And you know, I don't know even pie in the sky.
Let me indicate a couple of things.
Sure.
Because I saw this and I wanna make sure. I've had several discussions with Freeport. Freeport will quite possibly donate the land behind the cemetery to us as a remote site. And that's a lot of land. Likewise, the three concentrators will be coming out, and when those come out, that's a potential site. But interim site right now is, if the merchants would advertise it and get together on this, is Lowell Plaza, it's called, but it's...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the city bus stops by there, I think it's every 45 minutes, and goes from there right to downtown. And on the way back, it stops at downtown, in several locations downtown, courthouse.
The convention center. Right?
Convention, your place.
Right in front.
Right, and then...
No,
back to Lowell.
Or across the street.
And so that could be, it wouldn't be, if people would have to understand, you can't jump on and jump off when you want, but if we had signage, which there kind of is now about what hours they are, but if we advertised that as a remote site, that's another, that holds up quite a few cars.
Yeah. When you had the, when the city had the Sonora Quest, you had parking, there were signs that there were remote parking.
Yeah.
What you're suggesting, though, is using the lot in Lowell
as an
alternative site with a city bus, which is proper signage, is all we need.
Yeah, the bus already travels there. Now, I will be, I've got an executive board meeting with CIGO Friday, and so I'm going to discuss with them any grant opportunities for us to actually get a shuttle bus to run back and forth from a remote lot. Okay? So I just wanted to bring up, this is a thing that's been going on for years and years. My personal opinion is the only way we solve this is satellite parking.
I agree.
And then it comes up, how do we get people from point A to point B? Mm-hmm. And that becomes a little stickier because
some don't feel that that should be a city function, that that's a private enterprise function, that somebody should step up, get a shuttle bus, and make a few bucks. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm indicating that if we, those people that jump on that bus are going to pay a fare. Mm-hmm. It's minimal that they're going to pay a fare for that distance in both ways. So we're going to actually increase our bus revenues. So it's sort of a win-win. Mm-hmm. But all that that would take to get that going is, I want to firm that up with Robert Quintanar, and signage.
So the big, well, I remember when we were talking with the Queen Mind Foundation potential candidates, and the parking issue came up in our discussions anyway, of having signage along the highway to get people to know that there's parking there. Because once you see Old Bisbee, most people want to turn right in.
Yeah, well, the problem we have, Carrie, is the same problem, that the same reason we're not going to get a bike lane, no matter how much we talk about it. I deal with ADOT, and we have to get their permission to put up any signs. Mm-hmm. And right now, I'm working on getting permission, because we've got people, you don't even know that we've got a hands-free ordinance in Bisbee, and have had since January. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not allowed to talk on your, or text on your cell phone in the city limits of Bisbee. People don't know that because we haven't put signs up, and because that ADOT has to allow us to put signs up at the six entrances to Bisbee. Mm-hmm. So that's being done now. So signage is an issue.
But that would be, I think, in terms of having satellite parking, that would be a critical piece to make that successful.
Yeah, but I think that we can. I wanted to do parking signs downtown because there's some of these hidden lots, like a Brewery Gulch on down, that little city lot that sticks mm-hmm. up there by Gretchen's house. Mm-hmm. You know, that's only a half a dozen spots, but that's like gold, you know. And there's several of those around to put up the P parking signs and arrows to do that. Well, we could put up another sign that says remote parking, you know, so it wouldn't have to be on ADOT property.
Now, to do the Lowell situation, does that take talking to Freeport? Or does that sweep?
It's all Freeport land there, yeah.
The parking lot belongs to Freeport?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I just firmed up with them. I've discussed it once. I also talked to Tom Woody about overflow parking. That's for Sonora Quest. That's where we used the schools.
Sure, at Lowell School.
Yeah. Well, and so I talked to Tom about, on busy weekends, using Lowell as a satellite parking lot also.
How wide is the right-of-way that ADOT owns along the freeway? And who owns the land on the other side of that?
Well, the right-of-way goes to the fence, and Freeport owns the small amount on the inside of the fence.
Okay.
Well, the key thing, one of the things, your lot's full.
Yes.
And what I don't want to do is start pulling business from people in Bisbee.
Oh, that's not going to be a problem.
Okay. But that was important for you to say that.
Right, that's not going to be a problem.
Okay.
It's supply and demand. If you had satellite parking and you had enough cars to fill satellite parking, we would be the primary spot that people want to park.
Absolutely.
Sure, absolutely.
If we had the lane that we're talking about that Megan wants to put in, that lane, if made available on weekends, could take golf carts back and forth mm-hmm. the wall. Where you've got private enterprise.
Yeah, but unfortunately the golf carts won't work because they're not allowed on highways.
Okay. Well, that's, I'm thinking about private enterprise getting.
Yeah, not, well, I am. Small shuttle buses.
Yeah.
They're not that expensive. And, yeah. And somebody, you know, just a buck or two each way.
Well, we had that trolley. Remember when we had the trolley in town? That was
a
great
cool
little money maker.
Absolutely.
Decided to retire.
People don't like riding on trolleys.
Yeah. This is a huge subject, Mr. Chairman. This is
no, it's a huge subject.
Open this box.
But I'm chairing some action items. Action item number one, David's going to talk to people at Freeport. Because the overflow lot at Lowell makes sense because we can bus people on just on our routes. So let's find out how that conversation goes. And then secondly, I don't see, in all due respect, I don't see it as a business. I see it as somehow we have to look at ways that we charge people and that we can at least get to break even if we did shuttles. Without getting to break even, it's crazy. The hour is getting late, and we've now gone through our action items, our items. The roundtable discussion, I think we already had it. We will report back to you as a committee. I probably will send you through NINA an email of what we came up with in our discussions on Thursday, so everybody's aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go from there. I don't know if we'll have a meeting in June. It will depend on whether we have enough to discuss that would make some sense to have a meeting in June, knowing that, you know, we tax the system when we do it. So I'll stand for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second, please.
I'll second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Very good. We are adjourned. Thank you, Nina.
Yeah, I have to use a hard copy if you want.
Do you have an extra one?
I do, I think I do. Yeah.
Oh, Stephanie, thank you. Really a good job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.